Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. And today we're going to be talking about the ins and outs of Patreon. And is it a good fit for you and your podcast? So if you don't mind, hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen, if you are listening live, and share it with a fellow Clubhouser. And if you're listening via podcast, please share it with a fellow podcaster. And if you don't mind, also give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Thanks for being here today. Looking forward to today's conversation. I've been really enjoying having guests join us a little more frequently and speaking about their areas of expertise. And today we are going to be digging into the world of Patreon and things like Patreon, other tools like it as well. Patreon isn't the only one. It's probably one of the oldest ones that's been around. So we will dig in with our friends Julie and Chris, who, if you're listening live, you probably noticed they are on stage. Before we do, I just wanted to share a quick update on the Empowered Podcasting event. I know toward the end of yesterday's episode, I shared a link to the hotels because we worked out a discount with the hotel at the event. A discount on your rooms for being an attendee. I shared the link and instantly got some feedback that it wasn't working, that it was allowing you to choose were not the correct dates and you couldn't pick anything else. So I immediately reached out to the hotel, told them the deal. They were a little confused at first and very helpful, you know, willing to help, I should say. And then it hit me. I was going through all the paperwork just to make sure I didn't miss something about that link. And I was looking at the contract. No one in here knows this. They had the completely wrong dates listed on the contract. And the dates that you saw were the dates that were in the contract. I read through the contract and was hyper-focused on all of the verbiage, not on the dates. Same with Lloyd, who Lloyd was the one that signed the hotel contract. He did the same thing. We were so focused on making sure all of the wording was favorable and we weren't going to screw ourselves into anything. And we forgot to look at the dates. And then they tell us, okay, yeah, that is the issue. And we've got somebody who's holding one of the main rooms that you've reserved for 48 hours so that they can make their decision. So you can just go with the two rooms that you picked. Or you can wait 48 hours and see what happens. Thankfully, before I could really even fight them on it, because all I was able to get out was an email back saying, well, that doesn't make sense because we have emails that confirm the actual days that you acknowledged. So those rooms should be ours because you said you'd hold them for us. But before an argument broke out, I heard back within the hour and they said, oh, good news. Now, who knows if this is actually what happened? Oh, good news. The party that was reserving the other room, they backed out. So it's all yours. We revised the contract with the correct dates. Here it is. You're good to go. And we are. The only thing we're not good to go with at the moment is we're waiting for the updated link so that you can purchase your nights at the hotel at a discounted rate for Empowered Podcasting. So that was our little journey yesterday. And I've got to say, I mean, I think I've shared with you guys before, and I think Nick has echoed it recently. Sometimes I can lose my patience. And I was very proud of myself because the whole time I just told myself, this is going to work out. I'm not worried about it. It's going to all work out. And thankfully, it did. And I kept my cool. So anyway, if you want to get your tickets to Empowered Podcasting, I've just shared the link here in the room on Clubhouse, and it is available for you in the show notes if you're listening via podcast. So please get your ticket for June 28th through the 30th in Charlotte. We would love to have you there. This is a conference for the indie podcaster to empower the indie podcaster to get out there and accomplish all of those goals and aspirations that they've set, whether they already have their podcast or they're looking to start one. And looking forward to seeing many of you there and many of you on stage as well. Applications are closed, and we have begun the process of going through almost 100 applications. So proud of that. I don't think I had any goal or expectation around how many we would actually receive for applicants. I was more focused on attendees as far as numbers go. And this was a pleasant surprise. So thank you to those of you who have applied to speak. And we had a great meeting yesterday with the committee. Really excited what's in store for everyone involved. Okay. So today, as I said, we are talking Patreon. We might even talk a little bit about event planning too, because Julie has some experience there as well. She just finished her first convention with her team, Creative Con. That was in February. So maybe we'll learn a thing or two as well. First, let's start with an icebreaker question around the idea of Patreon and premium content. Nick, good morning to you. We may not get to every moderator with this question, but I do want to break the ice with my icebreaker. Nick, have you ever purchased, so you got to put your listener or viewer hat on, have you ever purchased bonus content from a podcast like Patreon exclusives, early episode releases, special live events? Maybe an Apple subscription. Well, not you, Nick, but maybe for everyone else, an Apple subscription where you can get an early release of an episode. I know SmartList does that as an example. And if not, is it something you'd consider doing in the future? Go for it. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, I never have. I've never purchased like a Patreon or premium podcast content. Especially not to get access to the episodes early. But I think it's just because I don't care that much. Like I'm fine waiting for the content to come when it's supposed to come. I have purchased products that hosts have suggested products, or maybe it's courses, things like that. But I've never paid like a subscription related to podcast, and I don't think I would. I could be wrong. I might be jumping the gun on that, but as of right now, I don't see myself.
So I'm going to slightly challenge you, Nick. What about Pat Flynn?
That was the one, when I was thinking about this morning, that was the one that I was thinking I may have at one point thought about doing that.
Didn't you join his his membership program?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And that was, I mean, like I said before, I've purchased products and things like that. But it wasn't necessarily a podcast specific. Like, he wasn't releasing extra content for his podcast.
Yeah, that's fair. Right. That's fair. And so I think what my point then is, it could be something like that too, right? Because sometimes maybe you're not making additional content as a podcaster, but maybe you've created a membership site like Pat Flynn, like we did with Next Gen Podcaster, although it's not necessarily at the moment connected to a podcast. But hopefully you get the idea of what I'm saying here is, yeah, it could be if that podcast is offering a membership program, that counts as premium content in my book. So, yeah, go ahead.
Going there, then, yes, I have. It's just never been through like a Apple Premium or a Patreon or anything like that. Like, it was always a standalone, like, product, if you will, that they just happened to be promoting.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's totally fair. And I do want to hear specifically from all of you as far as, yeah, your purchasing habits, or if they don't exist, regarding Patreon. So yes, thank you. Thank you, Nick. Alex, same question for you. Have you ever purchased bonus content from a podcast, a Patreon, early episode releases, maybe a live event that they put on, or a meetup? And if not, is it something you think you would do down the road?
Hey, everybody. I have three Patreons that I'm associated with. One is a artist one, and the other two or three are for podcasters to support them. I mean, they're nominal. The features that we get with the main one for my network is it might be early content, but it's commercial free content, which I really don't take advantage of. The main thing that the Patreon does for us is we have a community Facebook group and stuff like that. And I have a lot of friends that are in the group. The other two, I mean, they're like a dollar or something, and there are other podcasters that, you know what, I want to support them. This stuff is expensive. And if I can, you know, give them a dollar or two, you know, I know it's not a lot, but hey, it all adds up.
It does. Yep. It does all add up for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know with Patreon, or I shouldn't say Patreon, with this kind of stuff, you know, you get a whole bunch of indie podcasters and all you're doing is moving the shelves back and forth because it's all the same money in some cases. But, you know, it's a thank you. I mean, you know, the one that I do for this artist, Karen Halton, she does a lot of pop culture mashups and stuff. And I just love her content. You actually get a product from her once a month plus downloads. And she's very much a women empowerment type of pop culture type of artist. So every month we get like a oversized postcard that she does. So and then like downloads that you can do like coloring and stuff. So it's just kind of neat. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it, and you know, it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to learn the different ways to use it in just a moment. I want to check in with Simona, and I have an insider tip about Simona. Simona's got a house full of kids right now. She's babysitting. So we'll see how this goes. Simona, good morning. Have you ever used a Patreon or something similar where you've purchased content from a podcast? Good morning.
Good morning. Have I ever purchased Patreon content? No, I haven't. And honestly, I don't think that I ever would. I mean, I shouldn't say that I would ever would, but one thing. Sorry. But I think that you have to really be following something and like be really engaged in it in order to do that. And I think because of like the amount of content I do within my business, I just haven't really gotten into like different creator stuff to that like depth and like that level, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I get that. And, you know, and we've talked about that too before. It's hard for people like you and I who are producing multiple podcasts. It's hard to then go and listen to another podcast or watch another podcast recreationally because we've spent so much time during any given day listening or watching one of our clients' podcasts. I get that. There was something that Alex had said, and I wanted to, commercial-free content. That's a big one for me. That's one that I definitely consider when buying a Patreon subscription to a podcast. I've done it before, and I there's one podcast that I still do that. But in the past, there has been other podcasts that I really like to hear, and I get really sick of all their commercials and sick of hitting that skip button 1,000 times per episode. So yeah, that's a big reason, a big factor for me to consider when I'm gonna check out a Patreon page. Do I get my commercial-free version of the episode? Okay, let's see. I want to jump into the interview because we have two guests on stage. Chris, a very frequent guest, Chris Vaglio of SongSwap Showdown, and Julie Loken. And as I said, Julie Loken is one of the head honchos from Creative Con. Julie is a longtime Clubhouser. She frequents this room usually in the audience and occasionally comes up here on stage. And I know both of these two are using Patreon. Before we dive in, because most of us here are at least familiar with Chris, and I'm guessing some of us here this might be your first time hearing from Julie. So I want to kick things off asking Julie a question, if she's open to sharing, because I'd love for you, Julie, to share a personal story about yourself that it's one that I heard a while back and probably the first one and it's definitely the first story that I remember hearing you share. And it's your story as a legal professional during a mock trial. So I'll just stop there I'll say one more thing. And it has to do with public speaking. So if you're open to it, Julie, good morning. Would you mind sharing that story?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Mark. And of course, that's the only story you remember me telling. The one
I didn't say only. I didn't say only. I said one of the first. I know.
But it is profound, actually, as I'm thinking about it going backwards. I was arguing a case in federal court, and I literally was so anxiety-ridden that I don't remember anything. I didn't pass out, but it was like I blacked out. I swore from that day on, I am never speaking in public again. Yeah.
So what changed? What changed for you? I mean, because I'm sure that was probably a pretty humiliating or humble moment, I'll say. So what got you from there to where you are now, working with lots of different clients in different areas of media? You've got a lot of different things going on. How did you get from there to here?
Well, I recognized as I built my business that I had to be the face of the business. I know how to grow businesses, and it really is through getting on other people's stages, speaking in front of people. So I knew I had to do it. And I think this was about right before the pandemic. I just said, you have to stop being a baby about this and just start doing it. I mean, I would rather have died than get on stage anywhere. Mm. Just saying, it was so anxiety ridden. I was so anxiety ridden. And I just took those tiny steps. And quite honestly, Clubhouse has been very helpful in terms of speaking in front of people.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I mean, you become quite aware of how you project yourself to the world, listening to yourself on replays.
Yeah, for sure. Clubhouse, the podcasting, et cetera. Yeah, all of that stuff, I think, whether we know it or not, it is helping us with our public speaking. And yes, it can be very different, you know, than doing it digitally versus being in front of real people, but it does help. It is practice.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And you know, a month ago, I hosted my first live event and was on stage throughout the whole event. It was so much fun. It was so rewarding. But it just tells you fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. And letting our traumatic situations hold us back gives fear more power.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for letting me share that story again.
Yeah. Making you relive it. Yeah.
Right. Over and over.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing it. And I don't know how many of us can say we can relate in the sense that it happened in front of a federal judge. And I think plenty of us can relate to that anxiety of speaking in front of someone or people and that pressure, that feeling. Yeah, I think a lot of us can definitely relate to that. All right, so I'm going to go to you, Chris. Good morning, Chris Vaglio. And I want to ask you, let's start with a Patreon question. Because you, for a while, you and Amanda with Song Swap Showdown, you guys were using Buy Me a Coffee, I remember. And I feel like it had to have been for at least a year or two. And then just recently you switched to Patreon. So what caused the switch?
So funny story. So when Amanda and I very first started the show, when it was still called Chris and Amanda Show, and that was when we were over on Fireside for that like first year, we actually started a Patreon account then. And we had, you know, some members on it, but we were running into some technical issues with payments, and then, you know, it just got weird. And we were also like not liking how much money Patreon was taking from the memberships. So we decided to make the jump to Buy Me a Coffee because we thought it would be a little bit easier, and they actually took a little less. I can't remember all the percentages, but they took a little less, and it seemed to be easier for people if they just wanted to tip as opposed to join like a whole, you know, membership and all that. And so this is going back like 4 years ago, right? So that's when we made the switch, and we started just doing Buy Me a Coffee. The thing with Buy Me a Coffee is we tried to then replicate some of the stuff that we were doing on Patreon that we liked, which was we could do the memberships and things. And yes, Buy Me a Coffee has that. I'm going to be perfectly honest from my perspective, is that I feel like Buy Me a Coffee is extremely clunky, not user-friendly, especially for the creators. And on top of that, it just doesn't seem to have the same functionality in a sense of the ease of putting things up there and creating things. I mean, even to like log in, every single time I would log in, it would always ask me to verify. And then it would send me a code to my email. And it's like, you know, I'm trying to turn these things off and it won't turn. It's just like, I get the security, but it was just annoying over security of it. And then also just they're very, very slow to like update things and keep things up to date. The system itself, I found to be very buggy. And even their WordPress plugin, every time we would install their WordPress plugin widget, it was always giving problems, and we would always be getting these security warnings from WordPress saying that, you know, it's a security thing. And so, I mean, it just wasn't worth, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, because on top of that too, people weren't using it. I mean, every now and then we'd get a tip or something, but I don't know if it's just that Patreon's got the better brand recognition, you know, let's call it that, than Buy Me a Coffee. But our experience of Buy Me a Coffee wasn't great, and a lot of people just weren't even taking advantage of it. So Amanda and I finally made the decision earlier this year we still have Buy Me a Coffee. It's there. Like, we shut it down, but we're not promoting it anymore, really. And so we made the decision to go back to Patreon because I have other creators I follow and support on Patreon, and I've always enjoyed the experience I've gotten through their accounts. And from now the user side of things, I enjoyed the ease of going on. The app works pretty well on my phone. Like, it just works. And so I said, well, you know, now's the time for us to go back. We've learned a little bit more. Our community has gotten much bigger than it did you know, 4 years ago when we first tried to launch Patreon. Yes, they still take a nice little chunk, but, you know, to be able to create some of that exclusive content and put it out there for the folks that are starting to subscribe, you know, starting to join our Patreon, I like a lot. And that's the thing too, is we're creating, you know, very custom content for our members. Like literally we're at a point right now where I can like put it in there and be like, hey, what does everybody want to see? And boom, you know, we get a list of like different video suggestions. And then Amanda and I will get together, well, you know, once a week or every 2 weeks, we'll carve out a chunk of time and we'll just create a bunch of videos that are all custom to the Patreon community that we have. And, you know, and I think, and I've always wanted to do that. And I really enjoy doing that because I think, first and foremost, it's a ton of fun. And I think the people who are members appreciate that, hey, we're, Amanda and I are on, and we're like, hey, we're making this video just for you. Obviously, everybody else here can enjoy it, but you requested it, and now here it is. And it's us doing a reaction to a music video or talking about whatever artist or whatever, you know. And then it also gives me the ability to maybe do some other stuff that wouldn't be put out immediately on our YouTube channel or, you know, as we've been now that we're in creator, now that we have, you know, create a partnership with YouTube, things get blocked a lot now. So I can also put things up there that like wouldn't necessarily be able to get released on YouTube due to copyrights, but I could put it up on a Patreon account now. So it gives me a little bit more creative freedom now too to do some of the other things that I normally wouldn't be able to probably do because it's going to get blocked on YouTube, but I can do it and put it up on Patreon for then our community to enjoy. So that's my quick bit of why I made the switch. I just feel like the ease of creating and putting it out there and talking to the community is much better than buying me a coffee. And I know they've done some upgrades, but I'm out. I'm already out. I'm on to Patreon. That's where I am. I'm not going to flip flop again. I'm good here for now.
That's cool. And thank you for sharing all of that. And yeah, I like the points that you've made here, just as far as its flexibility. And there was one other thing you said, and now it escaped me. So please forgive me.
User experience.
Well, yeah, the user experience too. I think for, on both sides of things, I think on your side and on the user's side, I think it is easier to connect with. I think it was. It'll come back to me. It'll come back.
I was gonna say too, like the brand recognition, I think plays into
that
a lot.
Was it.
I feel like Patreon is something. It's just my perspective, right? So I'm just, you know, it's a party of one right here. That I just personally feel that the brand recognition of the Patreon name and experience resonates with listeners and communities more than Buy Me a Coffee. I feel like the Buy Me a Coffee tends to be more in a tip category. Hey, buy me a coffee. That's the tip. Hey, give me a tip. As opposed to join my Patreon community, which is now you're joining like a membership. This is how I divide it in my mind. Right or wrong, that's just kind of how I see it. And I suspect that podcast audiences are a little bit more in tune with Patreons for memberships, and Buy Me a Coffee is the tip protocol type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, no. I love Chris's vantage point because I didn't really know a lot about Buy Me a Coffee. And another great thing is the domain rank of Patreon is at 96. Which helps with discoverability as well. So it's another perk. And you don't pay anything to set up a Patreon. You do pay it at the back end, and you also have the ability to make monthly recurring revenue, which I know as a creative entrepreneur or podcaster, that's something we like, monthly recurring revenue.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about. If you can get that regular monthly income coming in, it feels a lot better making content. And yes, to both points made by Julie and Chris, yeah, you don't pay up front. There is a fee that you pay on the back end. It could be anywhere from 5% to 12% is how I understand it. Go ahead, Stacey.
Yeah. But good morning. I'm jumping out of my skin, Chris, because you're talking my language around the whole user experience and customer experience and how you left it and then you came back to Patreon, which is so much what I'm focusing on in my business. And I think this is absolutely part of the journey of as a content creator and podcaster to make sure that you are giving people the best experience to engage with you and interact with your brand. So I love all the things and how important that the provider makes it easy for you, as you talked about. And there's a real metric around that that I wonder if they're using. My question is, have you tested Gumroad as a comparison?
No, I personally don't have any experience as a user or, well, either way, right? As a consumer or a listener of a podcast, no. Is that something you've played with?
I've started to dabble in both, just examining it. I haven't launched it yet, but I set it up. And I'm all about what Chris was saying, is what's going to be the easiest experience and intuitive, both for me as the host and as the guest, for the guest experience. So I'm kind of analyzing both. I don't know the answer yet.
Well, let's see if Nick does. Nick just raised his hand. Go for it, Nick. What did you want to add?
Yeah, I've used Gumroad and actually ConvertKit kind of started offering a similar thing. So I kind of ditched Gumroad. It essentially allows you to create like a landing page, put your product on there, whether that's a digital product or you can have it direct to other areas if you want, but essentially it acts as like the payment gateway and where people can go. The only thing I'm not sure is if you can do like a subscription based in Gumroad or not. I had never done that specifically, but yeah, it acts like a really easy way to put up like a digital download, something like that. But yeah, that's my experience with it.
Yeah, that's good to know. By the way, one more tip for those who do set up either one, a Patreon or other, use LinkedIn as a tool to get people there. And what I mean by that is I decided to test on a couple days ago, I launched a newsletter on LinkedIn. And I had 800 subscribers in one day. So imagine now if I had the Patreon, I brought people there. That's powerful. So just linking the two. Thanks.
Thank you, Stacey. Appreciate that. And thanks for bringing another similar tool to the table, because I think that's important to make sure that people know what their options are. So we've also touched on Buy Me a Coffee, Gumroad, and I think Nick even said Constant Contact offered something similar.
ConvertKit.
ConvertKit, thank you.
Yeah, it's same kind of deal. It allows you to create a landing page and a buy button, and they, since it's an email marketing service, like you can automate the whole onboarding sequence for them getting the stuff. It's pretty slick.
Very cool. So I want to, Julie, we haven't really asked you how you're using Patreon. So if you wouldn't mind, and also, and I'll share it in a moment here, you recently wrote an article about Patreon. I think I inspired that when I asked you if you wanted to join us. Yes. So you mentioned the importance of maximizing creativity and monetizing skills on Patreon. So can you share your initial steps and consideration when you were setting up that Patreon account? And was it yours, someone else's? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this is what kind of opened my eyes to the power of Patreon, if you use it right. I'm sorry, I'm having like a major allergy attack right now. So if it sounds like I'm crying, it's just allergies. I set it up for someone who has celebrity. One of my clients, she happens to be one of the Real Housewives. And we set it up with tiers. So they have a freemium tier right now, which is great. I don't know if Chris has enjoyed the freemium tier. So you can use it as bait to get people in. The discoverability of your Patreon page is a lot easier now on their platform. So I have three different tiers. One, I think, is $10, the second one's $20, and we offer different content. Her podcast is exclusively on Patreon, exclusively, nowhere else.
Was she ever free? Did she ever offer it for free?
Never.
Okay.
Never, ever. She goes into a studio to record. She does it very high end. And so she's never offered that for free. Once a week, basically, that's all the content, but we do a lot of engagement. The polls are great. People love polls for some reason. I never can figure that out, but that's a great way. She's very engaged with her audience. And then the second one is just once a month, a Q&A meeting with her. And people love that. People will pay $20 to meet with her once a month. And there's power in numbers. She's making right now, and the season's off right now, meaning they're not live, but as soon as it goes back on, I'm sure it's going to go back up. She's making around $6,000 average
month. Say that again. How much?
$6,000.
Wow.
A month for one podcast drop a week. And yeah.
So that first tier, she's just dropping the episodes because that's the only place people can get it. And then the second tier is she does this once a month Q&A. And I got to say, if you have any kind of following to a podcast, people love Q&As. People love to be able to connect with that host and be able to ask the questions that's been on their mind listening to the host. Now they get to actually have that interaction. And yeah, that's definitely a sellable feature.
Get behind the scenes. Know things that nobody else wants. It's a great place to put all your exclusive content. Even if you do an audio podcast, but just share the video on Patreon. And I just have to forewarn you, this could be chasing a shiny object. If you don't have a huge audience right now, it's a lot of work. The reason why her Patreon's great is because she had a built-in audience. However, I know it takes a while to build these. It takes a while to build these, a Patreon page. It just does. But it sounds like Chris is doing it right.
Yep. Well, then I think that's a fair point, and I'm glad that you brought it up. And I see Billy is agreeing with you. So, Billy, did you want to chime in at all as far as what Julie had to say around it being tough if you're a smaller podcast?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when it comes to all this, and Julie and I have had this conversation in other rooms multiple times, you know, about membership groups and crowdfunding and all these things. When I had my fishing show, outside of sponsorship deals, we did Buy Me a Coffee. So we tried Patreon. We made $20 in 1 year. Absolutely terrible. Spent a lot of time setting it up. I don't know if our audience didn't understand it or we were just terrible at pitching it. Either way, no one signed up except for one guy. And we were thankful for that, but it was a lot of work for a year for nothing. And then the second year, I was like, dude, let's just do a super simple tip style Buy Me a Coffee, support the co-host, you know, support the host or whatever. And we started making like $300-$400 a month, like right out the gate. Like people were like, oh yeah, no problem. Here's $5, you know, whatever. No subscription, no responsibility from us. We just show up and they just tipped us. Well, then after I think like 2 years of doing the show, we were looking for a way to generate more revenue without doing more sponsorships, just because we didn't want to fill our show full of ads. And that's when we went to just our website, did a membership, you know, member press or something on WordPress. And the only thing that we paid was a transaction fee of the 2.9%, 30 cents or whatever. We didn't pay anybody else any platform fees. And so we had over 300 people sign up for that in like a couple of months. However, I always say this, we had an audience of like 20,000 people. So do the math, it's like a 1 to 1.5% conversion. And so it's like not a lot of people are buying in, you know, at that rate. So it's something to keep in mind, especially if you're like, oh, I'm going to do all this work and set this thing up and everybody's going to buy in. Like, probably just look at the numbers and go, what's the conversion rate overall? And it's pretty true. And I'm a guy who pushes back against blogs and articles and, you know, percentages and all that crap, but it's true. In my case, it was about 1.5%.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that. Yeah, they're definitely, I've experienced that when selling premium content. I've never used Patreon, but I have sold extra content for my old podcast. And yeah, it's a small percentage. I think if you're getting 5%, that's, you're doing really well. 5% of your audience that are actually purchasing on a regular basis, I think in my experience, you're doing pretty well. So I want to then ask a little bit, because there was a lot shared here. And one of the things that Julia mentioned was discoverability is easier on Patreon. And I'm curious, Julie, what do you mean by that? How is it now? How is it difficult and how is it easier now?
Well, they are promoting the free tier. So everybody's on the free tier. So we have a lot of followers on our Patreon account that people are not paying anything. I'll put something like to dangle the carrot, get them interested, and eventually they'll bite. So that's made it a lot easier. So you can scroll through Patreon now and see all the different creators and get a little taste for what's inside, if you will.
Okay.
How it is.
All right.
In terms of internal.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so then what should we be thinking about when we are, if we're going to try Patreon or something like it that offers those tiered memberships, Chris or Julie, what do you have as far as some insights goes into how we design our tiers, our membership tiers, and what's the thought process behind each of these levels that we should be considering? Do either you want to take a stab? Go ahead, Chris.
I mean, I could chime in just on my experience so far. You know, Julie, I know you've been doing it. You have more experience. I'm interested in definitely hearing what you're saying, because I am absolutely willing to learn. So for what I've learned so far, and from others that I've talked to, is that I basically, how Amanda and I have it set up is that our lowest level is like literally $1. Like you could join for $1 a month. But as you go up on each level and it keeps increasing, you get more perks for being, you know, a member of our group. Like, so for instance, you know, I'll just, you know, I know you threw the link up there before, but I mean, I'll just let everybody know sort of like what our tiers are. But I mean, we have literally where it's like $1 a month, and essentially it's like having, you know, you're tipping us every month and you get like a member shout out and you get access to some of the bonus content. Then from there, it starts going up to like $2 a month and you're getting some song reviews, and then you're getting access to live streams, and then, you know, all the way up to like, you know, we have a $15 and $20 a month where like you have the ability to actually be like a co-host on a Patreon only show with us. And then we even like have like this thing where we'll actually even give you like, you get every that, and then we'll even get you like a custom like jacket with your name on it. So, I mean, you know, we just tried to do like really fun perks from things that we've gotten feedback on from the community so far. Obviously, you know, we're willing to learn and grow and get even more feedback. And as we get more feedback, we'll develop, you know, some things that might be of more value to folks. But right now, this is kind of like based on what we've been asked for in the past and sort of trying to incorporate that into something that for people who really like the show and want to be really active with the show, or just want access to other stuff that they can't get on, you know, our YouTube channel or like our audio stream, that they're getting this more personalized experience that's unique to being a member of the group. So as they go up in levels, they get, you know, more personalization, more opportunities to really be a part of the show as opposed to, you know, just being like a viewer or something like that. So that was sort of our mentality, is that the higher up you are in membership, the more part of the show you actually have the ability to become, you know. So that's sort of our rationale behind it. I do like the freemium thing real quick, Julie. Yeah, that's something that I actually just talked to Amanda about with. And so I'm glad you said that, because we're going to I'm going to incorporate like a little like freemium thing in there as well, to give people like a little taste of the of, you know, some of the content and stuff like that, so they can decide whether or not they want to join. So I love that idea. So thanks, Julie.
Yeah, I like that too, Chris. I feel like that, yeah, it reminds me of something that we would do with our podcasts that are free, right? I would use it to share the best moment of whatever that content is that they can purchase. So, you know, if it's a reaction video, Amanda reacting to, I don't know, a heavy metal video, then you could play like the best moment or the funniest moment and have that available for the freemium. And then hopefully that's that carrot dangling that people are going to want to try to grab and take a bite out of. So I think that's a cool idea. And I really appreciate what you said as far as determining what's going to go into each tier. You were basing it off of feedback. What is it that people are asking for? What is it that people are saying they're really enjoying about your show? And paying attention to the engagement, because as we have talked about here before, sometimes it's frustrating because no matter what we do, we don't always hear back from our audience. They don't give us that direct feedback that we're hoping for. So we got to lean on how they're engaging with our content. What's the stuff that they're engaging most with? The most views, the most listens, the most comments, the most shares, whatever it is that you can track, pay attention to those things and then double down and make those, offer those things at a premium price using something like Patreon. I like that. Anything else we should be considering? You know, we could talk about this engagement process, Julie, engaging with the Patreons. Like I was saying, it's just like in podcasting, it sounds like it's vital for retention and really building up that Patreon community. What have you found really effective in keeping the community engaged and active other than those actual offerings? And do you find it easier or more difficult to get them to engage versus a podcast audience?
Sorry, was that a question for me, Mark?
Yeah.
Because I just got kicked out really quickly.
That's okay.
I didn't hear. Okay. Engagement inside Patreon, they love to do the polls.
Oh, right.
But they love the polls. Like, if I put up a poll...
I think that's because they play to the lazy person because it's so easy to engage.
But there is a lot of engagement, but I work on the other end to engage people, make sure that they feel heard. You can do live videos from within the Patreon platform, which we have not done yet, but there is that option. And the other cool thing, I don't know if Chris has seen this, is that you can open a shop on your Patreon platform.
Yes, so I did see that.
You can actually sell shirts or swag or digital products or audio. Like you can sell a lot of stuff there that is extra. So that's super cool. I mean, I'm going to ask you, if you're putting all this energy into social media right now, what if you could be putting that energy onto Patreon and be actually monetizing this content that we're making?
Yeah.
And, you know, like for Mark, first of all, make sure it's highly tightly branded, the look, the description. For Mark, you know, I would probably start off at like a $5.99 price point for a tier one, then like a tier two at $10 or $9.99. And then I would take it all the way up and have him do group coaching for AI or podcast newbies. And maybe that's $20 or $30 a month. And you meet with them once a month. And, you know, there's power in numbers.
So. Yeah, thank you. And if you guys, I'm surprised, Julie, because I got the impression when I spoke to you a little bit yesterday that that you really feel like I need to have a Patreon. And so I'm surprised it took us 50 minutes for you to first mention that I need a Patreon.
Patreon. You have a community, and Mark is the perfect archetype of someone who should start Patreon, because he has been working so hard. He's building this community right here, giving tons away, right? Why not get paid for it too? And you probably could offer more insight on Patreon than time allows here every morning in Clubhouse or in your Facebook community.
Well, I've often thought about extending the morning chat to another hour, and I've stopped myself because making that commitment 2 hours a day, every day for free, to your point, felt like not a great use of my time. But if I could monetize that second hour, that's a little bit, that makes a little more sense financially from a business perspective, makes more sense. And yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued. I've never used it.
Recording yourself? Do you record yourself every single morning?
Yeah.
Video?
Oh, video? Not yet. Not yet. But that's on my agenda.
I mean, that would definitely be content I think people would want to see. Like, what does Mark Ronick really look like? What is he wearing today? People like stuff like that.
I think they would be saying, God, his hair is a mess this morning.
Yeah, why didn't he brush his hair today?
Yeah. Did he brush his teeth yet? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably why I haven't gotten on camera yet, is because it's another thing for me to do in the morning, is get myself a little more camera ready, even though I know I encourage people not to worry too much about that. And all that really I would probably do is just fix my hair a little bit. and I'm using it as an excuse, clearly. I need to get my video thing going on. I want to go to Walt. We haven't heard from Walt this morning. And Walt, I believe you told me that although you don't use Patreon as a podcast host, you use it as a community member. And I'm curious what you're using, which ones you're frequenting, and are there any, because we've talked about how it can be tough to have a Patreon, a successful Patreon, if you're smaller as a podcaster, if you have a smaller community. So do you frequent any that have smaller communities that seem to be doing well?
Yes. And I guess I kind of downplayed it a little bit because I don't consider what I have like a, yeah, I have a Patreon with lots of people now. When I first did my podcast, I did create one and a few people did sign up. I think it's a good thing to have, for any podcaster in case somebody wants to, because I think oftentimes people will sign up just to support regularly because they like what you're doing and want you to continue. And it's like, you know, just have like $1 or $2 tier. So I did that and people signed up, and I've had to buy me a coffee, and someone recently just gave me $200, which is like interesting because I've been on hiatus for like 2 years. So working on bringing the show back, and I am testing out different platforms. I don't really want to say which ones yet just because it's just kind of early in the test. I am excited about them, so I'll share when there's more progress, but kind of trying to look at each platform and see what exactly are they the best at and using it specifically for that. I don't necessarily recommend what I'm doing, but I like to experiment. But Patreon, I agree. I think Sid said it or Nick said it, but the brand, I forgot who said it, it might have been Chris, but the brand recognition there, people are very familiar with it just because so many podcasters use it. And the ones that I've subscribed to, there's a show called Stoop Kid Stories. It's a woman who is an actor, and during the pandemic, I think she had started it right before the pandemic, but the pandemic really like tipped it off. Her show is a children's podcast, and she created this Patreon to create bonus content, early access content, and then also just opportunities to like meet and stuff like that. So she had a bunch of people signing up, and that helped to fund the show while it was just her for like years. I think she still has it, and she's made very decent money on it. And then another that I didn't actually get it, but I was thinking about it recently and I might again, but woman named Amanda Seals. She's on the network. She released a political documentary through Patreon. She had one before for regular membership stuff, but she, instead of taking her film to different places like Netflix and all that stuff, she wasn't really having great experience with that process. She decided, like, yo, I'm just going to go do this 1000% independent, self-funded, put it up on Patreon. And I think that went pretty well. As exclusive content, now Patreon has like these one-off type of things, these digital products that people could purchase and experience right then and there. So, I'm excited about everything that Patreon offers. Going to experiment with it, but who put it in the chat? Nick put it in the chat. Just about what you should invest in depending on the size you're at, which I kind of agree with. I think there's no absolute, no right way to do anything, but it's not my main focus right now, but it is an option I'm providing. I forgot what your question was, not going to lie, but I hope I answered it.
Well, you definitely gave us some good insights, and I was asking if any of the Patreons you frequent, if they are what you would consider maybe a smaller podcast, have a smaller audience and still seem to be doing pretty well.
I've seen a lot of people grow with the Patreon. The Patreon has grown with them, so they started it early and it was the initial adopters, and as the show has grown, so has the Patreon. That's another reason why I recommend starting it, because just as you grow percentage wise like conversion rates and stuff, if it, you know, remains the same, it'll grow as your show grows. So yes, I have.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Walt. Appreciate all of that. And here's how I want to wrap things up today. I'm going to say hello to Brian, hear what Brian has to say. And then I've got one more question for both Julie and Chris. So first, Brian, good morning. Did you want to add anything to the conversation?
Hi, Mark. The only thing I wanted to add is that I'm excited for tonight. Podcast YouTube marketing group that is meeting up locally. As long as my parents are cool with it, they probably will be. And as long as I'm feeling well, because I've been dealing with some allergies over the last few days. But then again, I was out last night as well. So that's just what it is. Right now, I'm looking forward to meeting some more people in person and having a good time. So that's all I wanted to add.
Well, thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. And I you're talking about Stacy's event, which can be heard, seen, etc., anywhere, because it's going to be available virtually via Zoom, and yours truly will be the moderator for those joining the Zoom portion, which is the whole thing. But Stacy is really, really wants to make sure that everybody has access to this, so she wanted to incorporate that Zoom element as well. And hopefully, having me there, hopefully I'll make it a little more smooth than the first time. I know that was some of the trouble that you experienced for your first meetup, Stacy. Would you please make sure to put a link? Actually, I'm going to make you a moderator if you know how to do this. I don't know if you do or not.
I just added it into the chat.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say, I was going to make Stacy a moderator to share the link here with everybody, but Chris has shared it in the chat. I will share it in the show notes as well so that anybody can attend. It's tonight. It kicks off at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Check that out. And I will see you there. All right. My final question, Chris, Julie, I'll go ladies first. Julie, what's one piece of advice you could give somebody listening right now that's intrigued, interested in starting Patreon? Let's assume they're an independent podcaster who's still growing, doesn't have a big audience yet, but they want to offer that Patreon anyway. What's a piece of advice you could give them? I can't hear Julie. Can anyone else?
No, I don't hear her either.
Okay. Let me go to you, Chris, first. Same question.
One piece of advice I can give is, I mean, what I've learned is that, you know, having an active, engaged community really does make a big difference. So not to say that if you don't have a large following to not do it, that's not what I'm saying. But I would say that it definitely, be patient with yourself. Don't give up on it because, I mean, like everything, like growing your show in the first place, it takes a lot of time to do. So, you know, keep it really simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't feel like you have to add a ton of different tiers. I mean, honestly, you can keep it to like, you know, three tiers. Like, just keep it super basic. Keep the barrier to entry really simple. So that way, you know, especially if you're just starting out and your community is still growing, that just gives them ease of access to join and be part of things. And I think to Julie's point too, like whatever energy you're kind of putting into social media, like once you get people growing onto your Patreon, like try to divert some of that energy into Patreon because I mean, those people are paying to be because they want to be there. So, you know, give them quality content for that. So I would say, yeah, keep it simple. Keep it simple.
I love it. Thank you. And Julie has come back to see, let's see if her tech issues are fixed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, that was so strange.
It's Clubhouse. We deal with that sometimes. So yeah, basically asking you the same question. We want to know, what's one piece of advice you could give somebody who's starting on Patreon, has a smaller audience, but hell-bent anyway, they want to start offering premium content. What advice would you give?
Figure out what your people want. Don't do it for you. Do it for your people. So if they are wanting advice, if you're an expert on something, give them that in the Patreon. If they want you know, behind the scenes clips or exclusive interviews, give them what they want. Be consistent, of course, and be committed for 12 months because it will take a while and the numbers will jump all around. So you have to have thick skin, but and then always promote it wherever you go. Not in a pitchy way, but make sure people know about it. Be my best advice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks to Chris and Julie. And yeah, I think, listen, from what I'm gathering and from my experience selling premium content on something other than a Patreon type of site, my own membership sites from my old podcasts, I think you guys have hit several nails on the head, including make sure you are promoting your Patreon, especially with a smaller audience. I mean, look, you want to promote it anyway, but when you've got a smaller audience, speak to them, share it with them, let them know what you're doing and why you're doing it. I think sometimes it has helped me when I've simply told people, listen, we're doing this content because we know we've heard you want more and we're selling it because we need to make a living at this. We need to fund this so that we can keep going. And sometimes those words is all it takes for a free community member to become a paying one. So yeah, promote, be patient. It does take time. And to Julie's point about having thick skin, I'd like to believe if you didn't have it before, you've started to develop thick skin as a podcaster because there are lots of highs and lows in podcasting. And I like those ideas also. Start with simplicity. Offer one, two things. You don't have to start with multiple tiers. Keep it simple. Keep it a low ticket price if you're able to. But also don't devalue yourself and your content. And use that freemium feature. That is huge. That definitely makes a difference. I've heard people say it. It's made a difference in my purchasing. If I'm able to get a taste, not just being told that either I'm going to love what they have to offer or just told a little bit about what they're offering, that's sometimes not enough for me. I want to see, hear, feel, what am I going to get? So giving those little pieces on that Patreon page can go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. I just turned that on actually on a few of the tiers. So you get that 7-day freemium. So that's a cool feature. So thank you, Julie, for reminding me about that. And one more thing, Mark, too. One cool thing they do is, so for instance, like when we have a video on Patreon, it's for members only. We can actually share that video on social and it will like just give you a 30-second preview. So like you can watch like 30 seconds of that video on social and go, oh, this sounds pretty cool. And then, of course, if you want more, you can pay for it. But I think that's another really cool like little upgrade that Patreon's done recently, too, with the little 30-second preview to share out into social.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. And I'm glad that you took action right away, Chris, and went for it, made some things free on your Patreon. Make sure I've shared that link a few times. It's also in the show notes, so you can get that at 7 a.m. Pacific time when we release this as a podcast episode, which reminds me, we do this at live on Clubhouse at 7 a.m. Eastern every Monday through Friday. So please come join us live. Come join the conversation. Be a part of the insights that we share with each other to empower each other. And thank you, Julie Loken. Thank you, Chris Vaglio. We appreciate the insights, the experience. Looking forward to seeing if anybody here starts a Patreon. And let us know if you do. So until tomorrow with the news, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.